This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Governor Al Blagojevich made his plea for the gross receipts tax before the Illinois House yesterday. We'll hear more about that and how lawmakers reacted. We'll also get a forecast for the upcoming couple of days from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. The Champaign County Board voted 19-5 last night to fire its supervisor of assessments. Kurt Diedrich says he'll appeal his dismissal. And meanwhile, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, he's filed a lawsuit against the county.
The Champaign County Board accuses Diedrich of improperly, sometimes illegally, interfering with the work of township assessors, even inviting local school superintendents to sue the county to help push through a proposal of his which township assessors opposed. Most Democrats on the county board supported Diedrich's appointment 3 years ago, but Democrat and County Board Chair Pius Weibel says mounting criticism has convinced him that Diedrich had not been a good choice.
So you just don't know how they're going to turn out. And I guess I would say, unfortunately, this one did not turn out as well as people had hoped.
But Diedrich's lawsuit against the county tells a different story, accusing several county officials of interfering in his office's duties as outlined in state law. He says his critics are trying to protect an undue influence on his office by the township assessors of the cities of Champaign and Urbana.
Well, I think what you have here is a county office that's been run wholesale by the two city offices, and so they're fearful of anybody who's going to look at their work.
Diedrich says the county board refused to hear his side of the story last night, but they'll have to listen in a hearing he'll be seeking before the board as allowed by state law. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Meanwhile, the county board has appointed Joseph Meents to take Diedrich's place on an interim basis. He's an appraiser in the supervisor assessments office. An observance of court proceedings in Champaign County suggests the number of minority jurors doesn't reflect the local population. More than 100 U of I law students served as court watchers as part of the third year of a court study started by the College of Law and the League of Women Voters. Each student witnessed at least 12 hours of jury trials last fall. A summary of the proceedings in Champaign County Circuit Courts indicates a discrepancy in the demographics of the county and those reporting for jury duty. Specifically, African American and Asian males were underrepresented. Antonio Martinez is a third-year law student.
We all bring our different perspectives to the table based on our experiences. And so I guess if there's not a representative African American population in that jury pool, we miss out on that experience that they bring to the table, which I think is valuable.
Martinez says there must be a reason that some court summonses aren't being returned, but there isn't a mechanism in place to find out why. Law professor Steve Beckett says the numbers call for Champaign County Circuit Clerk and other local officials to keep reviewing the way it surveys and selects jurors. Urbana police say a fight between two men escalated into a shooting yesterday afternoon across the street from Martin Luther King Elementary School. The victim, a 20-year-old man from Urbana, was taken to Carl Foundation Hospital. Police said last night he was only that he was surviving his injury. The shooter fled. He's being sought by police. No names have been released. The shooting near Beslin and Goodwin caused authorities to place King School on lockdown for a time, but police stress that there's no connection between the shooting and the school. Several Illinois lawmakers say restricting certain types of gun clips could at least limit the carnage when a person opens fire, like at Virginia Tech University last month. But others worry about how it could impact manufacturers in Illinois who make the ammunition magazines. Krista Kukowski has more.
The proposal would ban gun magazines that hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Supporters say it will limit how many rounds of bullets can be shot, which could help prevent tragedies like Virginia Tech from happening again. They say it is not anti-gun, but Democratic Senator Michael Jacobs of East Moline says it is anti-jobs.
I don't care where you fall on this issue. What I'm asking people to do today is to vote for jobs, because these are real people with families and mortgages.
But one lawmaker says he's choosing to save lives, not guns. The measure barely got the votes needed to move out of the Senate and into the House. I'm Krista Kukowski.
Officials in Rantoul say they're watching the events closely surrounding the town's three Collins and Aikman Auto Plastics plants. The bankrupt company has agreed to sell the Rantoul plants and six others in North America to Michigan-based Cadence Innovations. But Cadence's bid must be accepted in an auction monitored by a federal bankruptcy court next week. Rantoul Village Administrator David Johnston says that auction is scheduled to occur in Detroit, with bids accepted Monday and Tuesday and the winning bid formally announced on Friday.
Where the $68 million bid for the properties put in by Cadence becomes the starting bid. And I think it's a 1 or 2 day process within the bankruptcy court up in Detroit, Michigan. And after that process, we'll know, the fate of these three plants after that.
Last week, Teamsters at the Collins and Aikman Rantoul plants reached a tentative agreement on a new contract with Cadence, which would take effect if the acquisition goes through. The newspaper reports the agreement would include an hour wage cut. Johnston says it's encouraging that Cadence has shown an interest in the Collins and Aikman plants, but he says they have to wait until next week's auction to learn something more definite about the future of the three factories. Collins and Aikman has grown to be Rantoul's largest employer, providing about 950 jobs. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Earlier this year, Governor Rod Blagojevich stood on the floor of the Illinois House and unveiled a controversial tax plan. It'll raise money for health care and schools. Yesterday, he was back, this time trying to save his proposal. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford has this report.
Governor Blagojevich was clear when speaking to lawmakers. He says without more revenue, the state will have to make deep budget cuts.
If we have a zero growth, no growth, do harm, status quo budget, we will have to reduce spending by $1 billion. That means devastating cuts to the programs your constituents care about. It means cuts in education and in health care and in police protection. It means cuts in mass transit. It means cuts in areas of funding roads and bridges, the sorts of things that matter to people. Hot meals for senior citizens in Carbondale will have to be cut if we have a zero growth, do nothing budget.
Blagojevich addressed the entire House during a special committee of the whole hearing. He did his best to sell his $7 billion tax hike. The governor says universal health care is needed as more Illinois residents find themselves uninsured or struggling to pay their premiums. With more schools operating in the red, there are reductions in staff and class offerings. Blagojevich says his plan would help in both of those areas. But the business lobby takes a different view. David Veit represents the state's retailers.
My only hope is you will recognize that Illinois consumers are ultimately going to pay this tax, or jobs are going to be lost to ensure that businesses can operate profitably and effectively in Illinois.
The governor's plan would place a 2% tax on gross receipts for service industries. Manufacturers and those who sell products would pay 1%. Blagojevich says tax credits and other exemptions would mean 9 out of every 10 Illinois businesses would wind up paying nothing. But there are plenty of skeptics as to the impact it would have on consumers and the state's economy. Among them, Democratic Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn.
I heard the governor a while back this morning talk about it. Ben Franklin, one of the founders of our country, said there are two things inevitable in life, death and taxes. But Ben Franklin did not say that it's inevitable to be taxed to death. And that is the problem we have here today.
Others predicted dire consequences on everyone from factories to farmers to the consumer. Some lawmakers favor hiking the income or sales tax instead. But on that topic, Blagojevich was again blunt. He says the public would be angry if those taxes went up, just as they are about high electric rates.
Just think about all the phone calls you're getting when the people got socked by the big utility companies with their bills. But in that case, you can at least say the big utility companies did it to you. If you raise taxes on people, if you raise their income tax by 66% and put a sales tax on their haircuts, you won't have the big utility companies to blame. They'll blame you.
Blagojevich insists if an income and sales tax increase reaches his desk, he'll veto it. Judging by the response, Democrat Lou Lang spoke for many when he questioned why the governor would limit outright the possibilities for finding a compromise.
Periodically throughout your comments today and your comments over the last weeks, you've shut all of those other options down. And you've said, well, I'm here to compromise, but the only thing I'll talk about is the GRT. So we're here in a committee of the whole. Why don't you tell us how we can compromise with you if there's only one thing left on the table?
I'd be happy to answer that. Well, I proposed a budget on March the 7th. It pays for all the different things, health care for everybody, $10 billion for our schools over the next 4 years. But if you've got ideas, and I have a sneaking suspicion you do, Representative Lang, we'd like to hear them, and we'll have an open mind. But I will say this. Unless you have that big, sustainable source of revenue that can keep things going, all these other things are collateral and ancillary. They're not going to solve the big problems in our state.
House lawmakers will have their say on Thursday. Speaker Mike Madigan says he'll call a resolution asking representatives simply whether or not they support the gross receipts tax. The vote is non-binding, but the results will indicate if the gross receipts tax is a chance for survival or if the state's leaders need to head back to the drawing board. I'm Sean Crawford.
We'll continue to see above normal temperatures for the next couple of days. Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser: in the north, mostly sunny. In east central Illinois and across central and southeast Indiana, partly sunny with a few isolated showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. In west central and southern Illinois and in southwest Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. The highs today will range from 75 along the Chicago lakefront to 87 in some central Illinois locations. For tonight, in the north, partly to mostly cloudy. In central sections, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers. And in the south, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Tonight's lows will range from 55 in the north to 65 in far southern Indiana. And for tomorrow, in the north and central sections, a mix of clouds and sun with a few scattered showers. In the south, more clouds and a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. The highs tomorrow will range from 72 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.